This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next up, it's a Plains FM feature interview, keeping you in touch with the people and events happening in our Canterbury community.
If you'd like a good laugh as we slowly venture out of the chill of winter and into the freshness that is spring, this featured conversation about the best book club for those that hate book clubs may just be the tonic for you. We'll also be talking about a lot of other stuff, performance-wise. Kia ora, I'm Nikki Rees, and to find out what on earth all this means, I'm joined by local performers Derek and Mishi. Welcome.
Kia ora, Nikki.
Kia ora, Nikki.
Warm welcome to you both. It's lovely to have you back in the studio. I haven't seen you for a while.
I know. Good the last time you. We saw you was on a bus.
What a bus it was, too.
Yes, good times.
For our conference in 2018.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. My.
For our national conference. And goodness me, our Jaguar came out of the jungle, and what a fun time we had.
I wasn't there. I heard about it. But El Jaguar, a masked Mexican wrestler, had at the time created a bus tour that was going around and showcasing the sights and sounds of an emerging Christchurch. And you guys wanted to do it. So Mishi was able to organize it and bring El Jaguar and everyone together for this raucous bus tour of Christchurch.
We still talk about it.
Oh, good. Aww. Good things, I hope.
Oh, gosh, yes. Hilarious things. It was wonderful. Just wonderful. Now, I believe every Wednesday this month you are letting the fabulous mega superstar El Jaguar out for some improvisational fun at the Austin Club here in Ōtautahi. Tell me more.
True. He has a residency at Austin Club. We're doing El Jaguar's Book Fight Club.
In the coziest cocktail bar in Christchurch. So we love that bar so much. I don't know if you've never been. It's an underground cocktail bar in Center City. And El Jaguar was there with Mishi. And they went, that's a fantastic place. A show has to go there. And this was about a year ago.
Yeah, a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years.
And they've been talking about it and been doing shows. And Book Fight Club, El Jaguar takes two of his loves, fighting and books.
Sounds dangerous.
And brings them together. It was born out of the COVID pivot, where everyone was pivoting to do new things and how to make a living and how to fill their time. And El Jaguar brought his love of books to his former life of wrestling and created the Book Fight Club, where randomly we get 8 books, or El Jaguar gets 8 books from the audience.
Oh, from the audience.
From the audience.
Oh, interesting.
Before the show starts, I get them to write their favorite book on a little piece of paper, fold it up and put it in a bowl.
And then randomly, El Jaguar draws 8 books, like FIFA style. You know, there's 4 groups of 2. So there's like a round robin competition where 2 books, so like let's say it was 1984 versus Harry McClary at Donaldson's Dairy. We'll size up and then we talk about them. We talk about all 8 books. So it becomes a real book club then, where we discuss them and then we decide which one would win in a fight.
Gotcha.
And then it's narrowed down to 2 final books that enter the Literati Thunderdome.
Ooh, sounds fascinating.
Oh, it's lovely. And
exciting.
Just like Highlander, there can only be one. And at the end of the night, there's only 1 book that wins and reigns supreme. Yeah, so it's just – and it's great for people who don't like books or are not big readers, because – we don't really go into depth about the books. It's just some fun talking about books.
It does get pretty lively, I'd have to say. Barring the bus tour, this is probably the most interactive and the most chatter I've seen in any show, and I'm quite liking it.
Now, Mishi, you know El Jaguar very well.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe him?
I always think of him as like a lovable Muppet. Sometimes when you look at the picture, you think, oh, that's some guy in a mask and it's a little bit confronting. And then when you get in front of him, you just see how personable he is and how charming he is and how interested and curious he is about everybody that's there. And he just wants people to have a good time and to bring people together and create connections between strangers. And I love seeing him bring a room together.
Because it's improv. I mean, that's a skill, a huge skill mm-hmm. to have, to read the room, to work with the room, to work with the people who are there, to think on your feet. There's so much to it.
True.
And it's with the improv, it's just being curious. Like Mishy says, it's being curious about everything. And that is a good sign of an improviser, is someone who just wants to know a little bit about everything. Most improvisers I know, and my favorite ones to watch around the world, just know a lot, a little bit about a lot. So they can have conversations with almost anyone, a truck driver, an anesthesiologist, anyone, because they know one or two things and they're going, well, this is what I heard. Tell me more. And then they just fill their bags with a little bit more knowledge.
Are there kind of other tricks or techniques to getting people to engage?
I think it's also being sensitive about who wants to engage and who doesn't. I think
you're reading body language.
Yeah, but I think El Jaguar really pays attention to whether people are curious or not, if they're feeling nervous, he wants to put them at ease, and he'll just focus on the people that are willing to engage. And then eventually some of the shy folks will or will not engage, but they'll feel comfortable no matter what. I loathe performers that drag people into shows that don't want to be part of it and, you know, semi-abuse them or make fun of them. And El Jaguar doesn't do that. He's truly there to engage and connect with people. And that's, I think, one of the big differences.
It was an example. El Jaguar was doing a corporate a couple of nights ago, and there was mostly adults, but there was a teenager in the room, and the parent was there going, oh, don't worry, you're not going to get anything from them. And then their book, the teenager's book, was chosen as one of the books and part of the book club. And the mom was going to talk for the teenager and go, well, I don't know much about this book, blah, blah, and was trying to talk about the book. And then Jaguar just asked the teen, do you want to talk about it? Or, because your mom is probably going to mess it up. And then you could see the teen light up because it was their book. And it was almost to the point where could have probably rolled with that teenager for another 10 minutes until Jaguar went, well, there's other books to talk about, so let's move on. But that teenager really did want to talk, and it's just finding what they are curious about and what they like. And then you won't be able to shut people up.
So if I come along to the Austin Club, what environment am I what am I coming into?
Well, you need to find out what the password is for the evening, because they actually use a password to get into the building. You press the buzzer. You go down an alley, press the buzzer, tell them the password.
It's right between Mecca and where the Lululemon used to be. And you go down that alley, and then you say the password, and you go down, and it's a low-ceiling speakeasy.
Used to be a train station.
I didn't know it either, and I want to learn more about that. But everyone is wearing the leather aprons.
It's like
fedoras.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's like very sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like gin mules and all those gorgeous cocktails. And then there's a back room where music is usually played. The guy from the Eastern, Adam, he plays there often. But it's only a small room that seats 30 people at most.
Cozy banquettes and little sweet cabaret tables with candlelight. Really small. Seats about 30. Tiny little stage.
So you get your cocktail. You get a little cheese board, a little platter. And then El Jaguar comes out and we talk about books a little bit, and then we pull out all the books that we're going to talk about, and then we just have a chat, and people are going, oh, that book. I hadn't thought of that since I was a kid. There was a book a couple of weeks ago that someone brought up, and then someone else went, I hadn't thought of that book since I was a kid. And I forgot what the book
Giver?
Was.
The Giver?
The Giver, yes.
Yeah. Lively discussion broke out between all these strangers about this book that they'd read in intermediate, I think, most people.
And sometimes, all these conversations happen and the show stops because everyone is breaking out into discussion groups about books. And then it comes back to the show, and then there's a little intermission so you can get another drink. And by that time, the tipple takes its effect and people are having rowdy conversations and the fight gets rowdy and rowdier. And it's only an hour and 20 minutes.
It sounds perfect for a winter's night. Well, a spring, early spring.
Early spring.
Early spring, and no, so June.
And we as Migwe will be there every Wednesday. And at the end of Book Fight Club residency, another character, the unicorn, part of Migwe's coterie of characters.
He's an improvised storyteller.
Yeah, he'll take residency and he takes a musician from the scene, from the Christchurch scene.
We've got Lana Law from All Girl Big Band one of the nights, and Lorenz
from Yurt Party.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, together with the music and the storyteller, just create a never-to-be-repeated story in front of the audience.
That the audience has helped create in a way.
So
an influence.
You've got Wednesdays for the rest of August.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you go straight into the unicorn.
Yeah, that stays
and
in Wednesdays.
Wednesdays as well.
All the way through until
the end of October.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And we're talking about improvisation, which brings to mind that we as Migwe Productions, we'll be facilitating some improv workshops coming up.
Yes. Now, I was interested in this. The couples, there's a couples improv.
Yeah, we're trying to get that going. It's a really fun way for couples to just do something different, connect, and get out of their comfort zone.
Like date night, you know, people go to a movie or go for drinks or, you know, what else can you do? Oh, you go sip and paint, which is lovely. That's a nice way to spend time with your partner. But I think improv and the way we approach it, it's about play again, finding play.
It's not about performance, really.
Yeah. And improv is all about listening and watching and playing. So how best can you learn how to play with your partner again? Re-spark that time when you first started and that's all you did was play. Back and forth, bon mots thrown across the dinner table. And maybe over time, you got kids and you're trying to find some way to bring it back a little bit. So this is just a unique way to find that little spark again in playing.
Yeah, banter is so important, isn't it, between couples.
And you get put in strange situations and games, and it gives you a chance to sort of to surprise your partner because you're put in this weird, weird situation, and then you're playing these strange games, and then you sort of go, oh, I didn't know you could do that, or oh, that's interesting.
I've played with Mishi often, and sometimes when we're demonstrating something to a class, she'll say something that comes out of her mouth, and I'll have to stop and just go, who are you again? Who are you? And that's the joy of it, is being surprised by your partner. Yeah.
And where is this going to happen?
We're doing most of our workshops will be at Malthouse Costumes. They've got a lovely rehearsal space there, and they've been super supportive, and we really like doing our workshops there.
It's Columbo Street.
Columbo Street, yeah, right near across the from hills. The library. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're doing improv for couples and for people who are been seeing some improv classes and going, I don't know if I can commit to 8 weeks. We've got these improv tasters, which is only like 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon on a Saturday, so you can go, oh, do I like it? Maybe you dip your toes in. And then we are going to be offering a shorter 5-week improv classes. So if you liked dipping your toes in, you thought, man, I think I could do it for a short amount of time.
Or you try it and you think, yes, you could convince your partner to come along to the couples one.
Yeah.
Then maybe you do that another time. We also have a holiday program during school holidays for kids at Malthouse for just 3 days that are just, it's like a little improv camp for 8 to 11-year-olds.
Oh, what fun. And that's a great age to have kids
They're
doing
super
stuff.
Fun.
Yeah. My favorite age is 10. I love 10-year-olds.
Yeah. Oh, 10 is
Give me
good.
A 10-year-old and get them behind the mic and I'm happy as.
Do you have that? You should have that.
Do you have like 10-year-olds coming in and doing their own radio shows, hey?
We have had in the past, yes, and especially during Kids Fest. And I love that age because they are still flexible in their thinking. They're not scared to put on silly voices and be silly.
Yeah.
They don't care about how they look. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just such a lovely age.
They're not super self-conscious yet.
Yes, exactly, Mishi. It's wonderful. Yeah, so 8 to 12, that'd be really fun.
Yeah, and you can find out about that through our Facebook page, Miigwe Productions, on Facebook, or just they will be on Event Finder pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Or the website, miigwe.com.
Now tell me about this name, Miigwe. Where does that come from? Because I pronounced it completely wrong when I was chatting to you earlier.
Miigwe, M-E-E-G-W-A-I, is a completely made-up word.
It's just a misheard lyric that we – and it's just sort of – it's a private joke that turned into the name for our muse.
I'm gonna let her in on the secret.
Okay.
El Jaguar has a song that he likes to introduce himself to, and it's the Gypsy Kings do a version of You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. Mm-hmm. From Toy Story 2, when Buzz Lightyear goes all Spanish, there is a song, and it's called Tienes un Amigo en Mí. And they sing it, and then one day, years ago, Mishi thought, are they saying You Have a Miigwe in Me? And we went, Miigwe in Me? No. And at that time, we were seeing a lot of owls around. So it just the two just intersected. So the muse of Miigwe, this owl, who celebrates in misheard lyrics and happy accidents and mistakes that aren't mistakes. Because that's what improv is as well, is celebrating those things that you think are mistakes – but really aren't. Those are – and that's what improv always seeks to capture, those moments that you think is an accident and then you go, nope, that's the crux of it. That's the whole thing. That's the show right there, that misheard lyric. So we took that and ran with it.
I'm talking with Mishi and Derek from Miigwe, and interesting performances coming up and – things that you can enjoy and get involved with that we've been talking about. So tell your friends, get your family along, come and enjoy some live performance improvisation in a beautiful setting or the workshops. And I have to ask about your travels, because you've been away June, July. Yeah. Where have you been and what have you been doing?
We were in Canada. We were invited to Improvaganza in Edmonton.
It's one of the largest improv festivals on the planet, and they invite improv companies from around the world. And because of COVID, they're restarting it and getting back to the size that it used to be. And it's been on our to-do list for a while.
Yeah, so is this the first visit?
Yeah. And they'd asked us to do it back in 2019 when we took the bus tour, the Christchurch bus tour that we did here. We took to Vancouver's festival in 2019. And then Edmonton saw it and really wanted it. And then COVID happened. So it didn't happen in 2020. And it couldn't happen again for a while. And then they said, hey, would you come back this year? We're in our new theater and we'd love to have you. And so we took the bus tour to Edmonton and did a El Jaguar's bus tour of Edmonton.
This is a city that I don't know. No one knows.
Neither of us knows.
No one knows very well. So El Jaguar, myself, and Mishi, we spent 4 days in a car, in a little zippy Honda, zipping around the city, trying to find things to celebrate about the city of Edmonton.
Gosh, and what did you find?
This would be of only interest maybe to people who are Canadian or know of some Canadian comedy, but Edmonton was the home for a TV show called SCTV for about a year and a half. And SCTV in Canada is legendary. It's like a sketch comedy show. It's like Canada's SNL, Saturday Night Live. But the thing is, that company, this is in the 80s, SCTV produced John Candy, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy, Dave Thomas, Rick Moranis.
Martin Short.
Martin Short, Andrea Martin. So all these kings of comedy now, back in the 80s, were sequestered in this small oil rigging town in Edmonton for about a year and a half, where they produced some of their most well-known characters and sketches. So they have a bench, a statue commemorating that move to there. So that was a pretty
was
good
one
thing.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty big highlight.
It was a moment on the bus where we got to take everybody off the bus to have a big group photo with the statue, and we passed out little beanies for everyone to wear, or toques as we call them in Canada, and everyone put on their little winter toques in the middle of summer to be taking a picture with these statues of these famous guys, Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And what else? Where else did you take people?
Where else? We went because at the time in Edmonton, Alberta, I don't know if you read the news, Alberta is suffering from a lot of wildfires in the north. El Jaguar and honor the first responders, and we found one of the fire stations in the city, and we drove up in our bus full of people, and El Jaguar would bring four cans of beer or six pack of beer and knock on the door and leave it as a gift to these fire. And it wasn't a lot, obviously, because there's more than six people there, but it was like just a tip of the hat to them going, thanks for all your work, not just fighting forest fires, but living working in the inner city where there's more than just fires to contend with. So is that honoring those people. So it's just finding those little – and, oh, this is another one that El Jaguar really liked was curling is huge in Canada. And we found in this one neighborhood, or the oldest neighborhood in Edmonton, this 100-year-old curling rink. Mm-hmm. That during COVID, speaking of pivots, had to pivot its cafeteria to a burger joint. So out of its cafeteria, it's operating this artisanal smashed burger place. So we would pull up in the bus, and El Jaguar would run out, grab a couple of baskets of fries, or they call them flatties because they're very rectangular and flat, and serve fries to
the entire
bus.
Brought them on the bus and pat, and then it's like a big school bus and everyone's passing them back row by row.
I remember El Jaguar gave us ice cream.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
On our trip.
And Rollick and Gelato.
Good. Little ice cream thingies. Yeah.
Because it's got to be like
heaven.
It's little treats. Like the bus itself is a piñata. Like if you were to knock the bus and smack it open, all these little treats because all these people are in there. And we get to know a little bit about everyone, and you're getting to learn about people in there. So it's like the bus is a metaphor for a little piñata.
How was it being back in Canada?
How was it?
It was good. I loved the experience in Edmonton and getting to know that city and being there as part of the festival. And that theater, Rapid Fire Theater, they were wonderful hosts, and it was really great to work with them. They were incredible about making the bus tour work and trying to do the things that we dreamed about doing and made them happen. So that was really cool. And then we spent some time with Tightrope Theater in Vancouver as well. It's a little small improv theater that's doing beautiful things, and did some shows and some workshops with them as well. And Victoria Garden City Improv. So we and a bit of time in Calgary. Derek's actually, we went to the memorial for your teacher, Keith Johnstone, in Calgary. We managed to – it just worked out that we were there.
For those who improvisation – in its modern form, there were two main purveyors of bringing improv in the later half of the 20th century. And one of them is a gentleman by the name of Keith Johnstone, who created theater sports, which a lot of secondary kids probably know about or have played or at least heard of. And a lot of the games was created by this gentleman who I had the fortune of studying under in Calgary. And he just recently passed away earlier this year. But he lived to 90, so it was good yards. And, yeah, his memorial was held while we were there. So that was nice to connect with old friends and just discuss his international reach, because everywhere around the world, everyone's heard of theater sports.
In fact, a previous station manager was involved in theater sports.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
At Plains FM. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So, like, going to a different country and going, hey, do you know improv? Not really, but do you know about theater sports? Oh, yeah. And then talk about memories of watching it or doing it themselves or if they hated it or loved it. But it's around the world and it connects all of us. And, yeah, so it was good. It was nice to be back.
It was pretty special to be able to be there for that. And it just worked out. If we hadn't been there for that festival, we wouldn't have been able to go.
Happy accidents.
It was a really nice happy accident.
Great timing.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time when you think you would move away from improv, or El Jaguar would hang up his wrestling suit and say, I've had enough?
I don't think so.
I doubt it. I think it's pretty – it's in your blood, definitely, Derek.
Yes.
It's in there.
I've been improvising since I was 15. So it's 35 years that I've been doing it, and it's not that I don't know any different. It's just that – the qualities that improv teaches are so applicable to everything, listening, paying attention, being present here in the moment. Those things are transferable to life. So why would I stop doing the thing that is synonymous with living?
Yeah, gives you joy.
Yeah, yeah.
As you say, living in the moment, that's very, very true and very precious.
Yes, yes.
Now, if people wanted to find out more and just get some information about these things coming up, about the book club, Fight Book Club, and your workshops and what's coming up in the future, where do they go and find you?
Miigwei.com, MEEGWAI.com, or on Facebook, Miigwei Productions.
And Instagram as well, at Miigwei.
Or if you want to just get a hold of El Jaguar, El Jaguar Comedy at all the socials will get you there. El Jaguar Comedy, you've got to write comedy, because if you just write El Jaguar, you'll get page after page of jaguars in Spanish. So, and there's an El Jaguar Colombia.
So whether you find him funny or not, yes, just type in El Jaguar
just type
Comedy.
In comedy.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking about what you've been up to and where you're heading next. And I've invited you to think about a song that we might finish off with. What would you like us to play?
Well, it's been on my mind recently because he just passed away. Robbie Robertson, who's a huge Canadian singer-songwriter, fundamental member of the band, iconic band that Ronnie Hawkins and Bob Dylan, they supported him. And he, after he left the band, released an album called Storyville. And this is what we do is tell stories, and we work within stories. So any song from Storyville or Robbie Robertson would be lovely.
Will do. And please say hi to El Jaguar from us.
I will.
We've missed seeing him around. And thank you so much, Derek and Mishi, for coming into Plains today.
So good to see you, Nikki. Thanks for having us.
Cheers, kakite.
Seen the people standing on the shore. I seen a big chief there standing on the shore. I asked my mama what they crying for. I saw a black cloud.
Listening to a Plains FM featured interview, keeping you in touch with what's happening in our Canterbury community.